Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be here with you in worship. My name is Stina Kappas, and I'm one of the pastors here in ministry with this community of faith. And I wanted to mention, since as worship was starting, there were a few new faces, that if you happen to be worshiping here for one of the first days, we're just so glad you're here. And you'll see that any week you come to worship, you're going to see any number of different faces up here. And so it's hard to keep track of the cast of characters, because at this church, we believe that worship is the work of the people. And we do that a lot. And so it's just a joy to be here worshiping our God with you. And that theme of worshiping the work of the people, I think, is an important reminder for us, especially as we get into our gospel lesson for today. We are in the middle of a worship series titled Miraculous, where we are reflecting on the miracles of Jesus. And we especially take time to do that in this particular season because we're in what's known as the Christian season of Lent. And at the heart of it, Lent is meant to be a gift to help us reset and realign our lives so that we can more fully experience the presence of God and allow Jesus to be present in our lives that are transformative and life-giving and lead us toward resurrection, which of course is what we celebrate on Easter Sunday. And so my hope is that in this Lenten season, you are able to have time with God in ways that allow God to help you renew, bring hope, and reinvigorate your life. And taking time to pray and think about the miracles of Jesus is a great place to do that. Because in the miracles of Jesus, we are reminded of that restorative power of God, the one who heals, the one who feeds, the one who tends, the one who welcomes. We give thanks and remember that at the end of the day, God has the power, and it's not up to us on our own. And of course, the gospel reading for today, the feeding of the 5,000, is one of the most fun miracles to share. And I think the gospel writers thought it was one of the most important ones to share because it shows up in all four gospels, and some gospels talk about it more than once. And so we give thanks for this reminder and this beautiful scene of there being crowds and feeling like everyone's exhausted and there's nothing left to give, and yet God provides. And God shares an abundance of more than enough. And we are given that theme and reminder of God's providence in moments when we feel like there's nothing left. And we're given reminders of those other themes, like in the fall when we were studying Exodus and the manna in the wilderness, or the stories about like Elijah and Elisha, who would share an abundance of food miracles in times of famine and drought. And often, when we think about the feeding of the 5,000, there's lots of conversations about, well, how many people were there, or how did this miracle really work, or any kind of other logistical detail. And those are good, and I do encourage you to kind of wrestle with and kind of spend time diving into those scriptural references. That's why we have Bible studies. So if you want to talk more about that, I encourage you to go either 9 o'clock, right before church starts, we have that opportunity, or we're also doing a similar study on these gospel readings on Wednesdays. There's lots of opportunities for you to be able to dive into those kinds of parts of the scripture reading. But this morning, I want us to take a slightly different tack, because often it's fun for us to think about, you know, well, how did this miracle happen? But I don't actually think that's the main thrust of the gospel writer's intent of encouraging and placing this miracle in the story. Of course, we're to be reminded of the miraculous ways that God works in the world, providing abundance, reminding us to live with open hearts. But if you remember and go back into the scripture readings, when Max was reading the words of Jesus, the main line that Jesus has in the scripture reading is, "You give them something to eat," right? It's okay to laugh. Like Jesus might have almost been like a little irked. There's a lot of good theological interpretation. He probably wasn't irked. He was probably much more patient. Jesus is much more patient than I am. So Jesus would probably be like, come on, guys, you can give them something to eat. But either way, this is really a key part of what is being woven into our gospel narrative here. Because, of course, Jesus can do all kinds of amazing things. What is so powerful about the gospel, though, is that Jesus is constantly inviting us into being a part of those miracles unfolding in this work here and now. He is not content to be the only guy that does awesome stuff. Okay? Jesus is always saying, come along, let's do this together. And that is what's happening in this feeding of the 5,000. Jesus looks at his disciples and says, come on, guys, you can do it. And what did the disciples say? We have no more than 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And I love that about the gospel writings too, right? So relatable, right? When God shows up in my life and says something to me, I'm like, I've got like this, you know, I've got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. I don't see how that is humanly possible. And God is like, you can do it, you know? And the skeptic in me is always like, I don't have anything to give. And that is where this kind of the power of this particular miracle sits for us today. Jesus approaches us and says, join me on this miraculous thing. And we sit with our own struggles and say, I don't think I can do that. I don't think I'm up for that. And you might say, well, Stina, that sounds pretty unfair because, I mean, they were the disciples, and in the gospel writings, they don't really come across as very smart. Have you ever noticed that? Like, a lot of times they get confused or, like, they argue or, I mean, they are very relatable to me, maybe not for all of you, maybe, but I love the disciples because those are usually the thoughts that I have. And you might say that's unfair that Jesus would have asked them to do something so profound. But you see, in Luke's gospel, we only started at verse 10 when it said, when the apostles returned, they did describe for Jesus what they had done. Well, do you want to know what they had just returned from? Let's back up the tape. Okay? This is what happened just a couple verses earlier. Jesus called the 12 together. He gave them power and authority over all the demons to heal sickness. He sent them out to proclaim God's kingdom and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey. No walking stick, no bag, no bread, no money, not even an extra shirt. Whatever you have, whatever house you enter, remain there until you leave that place. Whatever they don't welcome you, leave that city, shake the dust off your feet as a witness against them. They departed and went through the villages, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. So that's what the disciples had just been doing. Jesus said, go. You see this stuff I've been doing? You go and you do it too. And they go out and they're like, they do it, and then they come back and they say to Jesus, oh my goodness, we were able to do all that stuff that you wanted us to do. I mean, they were healing people and casting out demons, feeding people seems like an easy thing compared to the stuff that they were talking about. And so they come back and they're sharing with Jesus this amazing thing that's happened in their life. And so Jesus encourages them to go one step further and to continue on with the work. And they're like, I don't think so. But we know they have the power and authority. Now, I think where the grace comes in this story is that Jesus realizes, okay, I've asked them to go a step further than maybe what they've done before. I'll show them how to do it. You know, I do, we do, you do. That was kind of like Jesus' thing. I'll do it. We'll do it together. Now I'm leaving. It's up to you now. At the end of the day, with the gospel writers, they are writing not only to those disciples there, but they're writing to us, reminding us that just like those apostles, we have been given power and authority. And that Jesus reaches out to each of us saying, you give them something to eat. This is really the heart of our Lenten journey. remembering and struggling with the fact that in our lives of faith, God is always the one who ultimately is the source of healing and miracles, but that God says, I want to be with you in your life. I want to share my power and authority with you so that together we can go and change the world. That sounds pretty awesome, right? And I think in the heart of hearts, we all are like, yeah, I am totally on board for that. But like the disciples, a lot of times things get messy when the rubber hits the road, right? And as I mentioned, I am really just, I'm just very much a weakling who is constantly nervous about doing anything that requires anything of a backbone. I know none of you believe that, but I am at the heart of things just a little teeny mouse, okay? And to prove how much of a teeny mouse I am, this whole journey, this journey about you give them something to eat, I didn't actually pick the gospel writings for this Lenten season. It was part of a different series. And it was one of those things where I thought, Jesus, I wish you really hadn't included this one in the gospel readings, because this one, of all the healings and all the miracles we're going to talk about, this one is the one that keeps me up at night. And do you know why it keeps me up at night? Because of that thing we're building in there, right? And I want to talk to you about how what happens when God is at work showing and prompting, and when it's not coming from within yourself, about you give them something to eat, of what happens when you go along for the ride. So if you're here for the first day, welcome. I want to let you know that I've been here for about a year and a half, and when I showed up with this congregation, I learned that there were some projects that we could do. And we decided, they happened to deal with the facility, and we decided that it was time to do a capital campaign. And so we spent some time talking as a congregation about what our hopes and dreams and visions were, and there were a lot of projects on the list, and a lot of things that could be done, and the biggest and the most expensive one was the kitchen. Now, when I saw that on the list, I thought, that is never going to happen. That's a lot of money, then this is not going to... We'll get a few furnaces and we'll call it a day. I have other leaders who will tell you that, because I am a teeny little mouse, okay? So, but what happens? We make space for the Holy Spirit to talk among the community. We partner with the Minnesota United Methodist Foundation, and the foundation has phone calls and serious discernment conversations among you, the people of the church. And the foundation comes back and says, you know what? This congregation's ready for more than you think they are. Let's go. And it wasn't quite yet at a you give them something to eat, but there was that moment of like, there is more power present than we are giving God credit for. And something began. And then for some of you who weren't here at this point, we then ran a capital campaign and were very honest about just recognizing there were a lot of projects on the list and different things may or may not get done depending on how things happened. And I thought, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Okay, let's see what happens here, you know? And through the work of the Holy Spirit and the generosity of this congregation, there was more than we ever would have imagined. And I thought, okay, well, I guess now we're doing this kitchen thing. And it wasn't only just about having a kitchen for nicer donuts. There was a very clear, we want this so that all are welcome. We want this so that all may be fed. We want this so that it can be used to glorify God. And I was like, oh my goodness, I gotta get some work done now. But it was a very clear charge from within the people of the community that the Holy Spirit is and was working among us to say, it is time you give them something to eat. Now, I still thought I had like 2 or 3 years to get ready for this kitchen thing. So if you went back a year ago, I thought, I can probably figure out in 3 years from now how to do this, because it'll take everybody like 3 years to to share the money, to do the things. No. It is being built right now. And it is messy and chaotic. And you know what? We do not totally know what we are doing yet. I'm going to be very clear with you that we don't actually completely know how to do all the things yet. But every day we are working very hard at trying to figure out how to make sure your gifts are used to the best that they can be used, and that we are doing everything that is humanly possible to be able to create a space where you can give them something to eat. You know, sometimes I wish that Jesus had just asked me to feed 5,000 people once and be done with it. It would be easier and cheaper than this kitchen. But I think about the ways that God works nowadays. Sure, it would be easy to have a one-off event that looks glamorous, but so often when God is at work in our lives, calling us to participate in the miracle, it isn't necessarily to repeat something that had been done in the Bible, but it is to embody and become the miracle that God has put in our hearts. This is our miracle, to give people something to eat. And my hope for you in this Lenten season, as we continue to build this kitchen and figure out what we are doing with it, as we welcome others to join us in this journey, is that you can also spend some time genuinely thinking about the calling and the plan that God has put in your heart to answer that command to give people something to eat. I hope that part of it is with us here in this community of faith. And if you're watching online and you haven't even come through our doors yet, come on down, because I got a lot of work to do and I could use your help. But in all sincerity, I know that that calling may be far beyond this particular community of faith. And if it isn't with our kitchen, or maybe creating a new ministry that will be possible because of this facility, I want to let you know that this community of faith is committed to helping you live your ministry. You see the number of people that we're continually bringing forward to be the work of the people, because that is who we are and that's what we're committed to do. To help equip you with a power and authority to live out the calling that God has placed in your heart so that you can share in the miracles of Jesus. Some of that is going to come through our shared life together, and some of it is going to be us sending you out. And you know what? It is tiring and it is messy, and many of you know, as you've gotten emails from me early in the morning, that it does involve a lot of work. But we work at it because ultimately we also know that that's the stuff that makes life worth it. You know, we're not all created to do the same thing. We're not all created to have the same passions and hearts, but I'll let you know this. The thing that brings me great joy is not standing up here and preaching. I would like to never preach again, if possible. It's about allowing you to live in the ways of Jesus. To recognize that God has put something amazing in your life and is constantly calling you forward to preach good news. And that's going to look differently depending on what your calling is and who you are. But you are made in the image of God, and God has put a good word in your heart. I want to help you do that. This church wants to help you do this. And this Lenten season, I hope that you can discover what it is so that God can be glorified and that you can experience that joy that is complete. As you spend some time thinking about that, that calling that God has invited you into participating in, being a part of the miracles of Jesus, I wanted to share this very brief video as a reminder of the ways that sometimes when God starts whispering a miracle into your life, it starts very, very small. But I know it's there. And I just pray that you give space to let it become what God wants you to participate in. So let us watch this video and spend some time thinking about the ways that God is calling beautiful miracles out of your own lives.
Can you see it? There's so much great found in the small. A full life of potential in a heartbeat. A massive tree in an acorn. Trillions of atoms in a speck of dust. So much said in a look. So much history in a scar. So much comfort in silence. The faith to move mountains in a seed. The greatest gift in pennies. A timeless sacrifice in a few breaths. The greatest of man in a servant. The universe is great in the small. Stars 1,000 times the size of Earth, just specks in the sky. Salvation in the simplest of prayers. The gift of eternity in an instant. Freedom from bondage in a choice. Fullness of life in the darkest of times. Power of resurrection in a word. The greatest significance in the smallest of steps. Can you see it? May we all come to see the great in the small.